Please, let's read again from John chapter 4. I have a very beautiful message for you today. Fountain of living water. Can we say that together? Fountain of living water. Okay, John chapter 4. And we are reading from verse 5 to verse 14. That was read earlier. Let me just read it quickly. It says, John chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 5. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you will ask me, and I will give you living water." Verse 11. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket." Now take note of that. She said, "And this well is very deep." Now take note of that again. "Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this earthly water," I put that in, "will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." Why? You know, I've read that many times, but Holy Spirit just showed me something. Why we did never be thirsty again? There's a reason. Look at the reason there. It said, because when you take that first drink, when you receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, something happens. That same drink you've taken becomes in you what? A well of water. I've changed to King James. I was reading New Living. It becomes in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. You take the first drink by accepting Jesus into your life as your Lord and your Savior. That was your very first drink of living water. Amen? Before you accepted Jesus, before you opened your heart and you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, all you were having was religion. And people can be very what? Religious. By the way, you know, religion is not necessarily a bad thing. We are all religious. Because religion has to do with routine. And routine is part of life. But the problem is that routine, if you get too used to routine, you can miss God. Hallelujah. God is not bound by your routine. Routine is good. So long it does not become an hindrance to what God is doing. Amen? So before you opened the door, before you opened your heart, you were coming to church. You were going through the motions, but your heart was not open. You were still the owner of your life. But the day came when you opened your heart and said, "Jesus, I give you control." Hallelujah. "Jesus, take charge in my life. I will follow you." Hallelujah. That was your first taste of living water. But the reason why you never be thirsty again, get it, is because that taste brought in the Holy Spirit. Somebody, Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus, you know what happened to you? The Holy Spirit came in. Hallelujah. He came in into your spirit. Hallelujah. Bible says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God," Romans 8:14, "they are the sons of no spirit, no sonship." Hallelujah. When you took that first drink of Jesus, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit came in. And Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in you a well of living water. I know today you catch a new revelation of it, just like I'm catching. You know, the Word of God is never finished. You think you have revelation. The Word of God is super dimensional. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much revelation you have now. There's much more.
That's why in all eternity, we'll still be knowing God. In all eternity, we'll still be knowing what? God. There's no searching of his understanding. That's the meaning. It doesn't mean we can't understand God. It means that the more we understand, the more we need to understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit came in. He's the well of living water. You know where he is? In your innermost being. Hallelujah. In your belly. Because John says, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand that it's just not enough to be born again. You need to know who you are and what you have. Hallelujah. I'll be asking some questions later, but let me just preach a bit. What is a well of living water? This is the question I'm asking myself. What does it mean? What do I have? I've received Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come. Look at what he said. He said you will never be thirsty again. Now I know from my experience as a Christian that I got thirsty spiritually. But it's not meant to be. Hello. Hallelujah. We don't deny the facts. But we affirm the truth. We don't what? Deny the facts. But we affirm the truth. Truth is infinitely superior to facts. Because facts change all the time. Hallelujah. So I just like to be factual. I'm sorry. In facts, it's death. Yeah. But in truth, it's life. That's what the Bible says. He says, you shall know the truth. What will he do? In fact, it's not just, it's even a higher level. I used to read it as it will set you free. Until I went back and read it again from King James. He said, it will make you free. Hallelujah. You know why? Because Jesus has set you free. By the way, Jesus is the truth. Amen? So Jesus, the day you got born again, Jesus set you free. But you may still be walking through life in bondage. Because you don't know the truth. Though you know the truth, because the truth is Jesus. Let me explain. You see, when you got born again, you received the word of God. That was your first taste. Hallelujah. You ate it, and you got born again. You accepted Jesus. He's the living word. Hallelujah. So he set you free. But all through your Christian life, you need to keep eating. As you hit the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free in every aspect of your life that you are in bondage. Hallelujah. Your receiving Jesus was your first eating. It's not the last. Matthew 4:4 says what? Man shall not live. By what? Hallelujah. Have you ever, do you remember the last time you went to a very nice restaurant? Tell me. Yes, you go there, you just feel good. Yeah? But later on, you need to go again. Hello? You need to go what? Again. You need to eat again. Hallelujah. All through your life, if you want to be free, you got to keep eating of the word and drinking of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has come in. Is a well of living water within you. Let me just take that further. And then we'll go to some teaching and some questions. Open to Romans 8:2. That dropped in my heart as I came to this morning. Romans 8:2. I want to explain to you what it means to have the well of living water within you. The well of water. The Holy Spirit living inside your spirit. What does it mean? Now notice it's a well. Hallelujah. It's a well. It's deep. Someone says it's deep. It's a well. Hallelujah. It's deep. Hallelujah. It's deep. It's right there in your innermost being. It's deep. It's deep. Hallelujah. It's a well of water. It's deep. And that means that to keep drinking, what do you need to do? You need to draw deeper. Hallelujah. You drop deep down and you drink. And you're empowered for all things that pertain to life and God. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. When the God opened my eyes and I said, Jesus Christ is the best gift of God to the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. There's no point for you to be praying that God should save the world. God is only going to save the world on the basis of Jesus. Hallelujah. If they don't know Jesus, there's no salvation. Hallelujah. There's only for say, when we pray for peace, check the Bible. He said, if you pray for peace, so that the gospel can be preached. There's a superior motive. People who don't know God don't deserve peace. Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. Hallelujah. But this is why we pay for peace, is so that we can preach. The greatest need of the unbeliever is to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, having come into Christ, the very next best gift you can get from God is the Holy Spirit. He said, if you, that you are as imperfect as we are, we know how to give good gifts to our children. I'm reading from Luke. He said, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit? So when I read the one, I just realized that that's the best gift. Because within that gift is packaged everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't minister as the Son of God. You know why? Philippians makes us to understand that he left his glory. He put it down. First, he was in the form of God. Yeah. But he humbled himself and came in the form of a man. Hallelujah. Jesus came in the form of a man like you and I. He was born as a man. In fact, for the first 30 years of his life, no miracle is recorded of him. Until he was baptized in water and then the dove. He saw the Spirit like a dove coming upon him. So he was also baptized in the Spirit. What do you see after? Miracles. Hallelujah. The best gift that God can give to you as a Christian is the Holy Spirit living in you. Because it's a well of living water. That water produces life. The life I'm talking about is solution. Hallelujah. It's what? Solution. It's deliverance. It's breakthrough. It's transformation. It's fruitfulness. Hallelujah. He said, I've called you so you can bear fruit. And by your bearing fruit, my father will be glorified. See, I'm called to bear fruit. And I have the living water inside me. Let's read Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. I just want to let someone else read. Yes, who will it be? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Yes, who is ready? Romans 8, 1 and 2. Yes. Just give the mic.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Why?
For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, yes,
has made me free.
Has made me free
from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Amen. That's living water. Hallelujah. Is that the law? There are two laws. When Adam sinned, a law was set in place. It's the law of sin and death. Within that law of sin and death is brokenness, it's mess, it's all the rubbish that is happening, including sickness and disease, including oppression, yeah, and depression. They are all the consequence of the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Because God says that the day you eat, you will surely what? Die. The death is being cut off from the life of God. Yeah? The realm of death is the realm of Satan, where he can operate. That's the law of sin and death. Now, unfortunately, the moment we were born into this world, we all inherited into Adam. Because we all came from Adam. Have you ever thought about it, that even Eve came from Adam? Hallelujah. We all inherited the law of sin and death. But Bible says the law of the Spirit of life. Give me that from New Living Translation. New Living. Yes, who is it? New Living Translation, Romans 8, 2. New Living Translation. Where are the smartphones? Yes, Romans 8, 2.
And because you belong to him.
And because you belong to Jesus.
The power of the life-giving Spirit.
The power of the life-giving Spirit.
Has freed you. From the power of sin.
From the power of sin. And
that leads to death.
That leads to death. Hallelujah. There's another version that talks about the Holy Spirit in you. But I don't know if you can find out here. The law of the Spirit of life is the power of the life-giving Spirit. Another word to say is, it's the living water. Hallelujah. The living water I have in my spirit, because Jesus is my Lord, that has power. Amen? To set me free from every sin and death operating in this world right now. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death, which causes every other mess. Hallelujah. So now listen to this. We'll go into question, but listen to this. I have the well of living water within me. Hallelujah. It's a well of salvation. I am not sick and I'm not weak. When sickness shows up, I have within me what it takes to overcome it. So I'm not going to go around panicking. Hallelujah. I say, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Hallelujah. It's a well of salvation. It's a well of healing. It's a well of deliverance. It's a well of transformation. The only problem is, I need to know how to draw deep down and fetch and drink. Hallelujah. That's why you won't be thirsty. If you don't draw deep down, then you will not fetch. Then you will not drink. Then you will go thirsty. Despite the fact that you are born again. Hello. Are you still with me? Let's go to some questions. My first question is this. He has managed time well. It's a simple one. What is salvation? He said that water you drink will be in you a well springing up to eternal life. So it's a well of salvation. What is salvation? What does it mean to say that you are saved? Yes? Anybody here who is saved? What is salvation? Come on. So 1, 2, 3. Yes? What is salvation? I think people are being shy. I'll wake you up. What is salvation?
Thanks.
I'm not looking for a perfect answer. I'm looking for a variety of answers. Yes?
I think you are saved from the judgment, that God is going to bring upon people that do not belong to the
kingdom. So being saved from eternal judgment. Yes? 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 That's part of it. What is salvation? Yeah, don't be shy. Let's go for it. Yeah, I'm coming. Yes?
Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Yes, but what does it do? What does he? Why? Why should you accept it? What is the benefit? Or what does it do for you? So if you do that, you are saved. But what is the value in the salvation?
Fullness of life.
Fullness of life. Yes, it's part of salvation. I agree. Yes, what is salvation?
Free from bondage of sin.
Freedom from the bondage of sin. Yes, that's part of it. Yeah? Yes, and more? What is salvation? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is salvation?
It's freedom from sin and its consequences.
Freedom from sin and its consequences. Yes, one more. What is that? Yes. They are all correct.
Kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God on earth. Have you ever thought about it that way? Is there like kingdom, and thy will be done on earth as it is in. That's salvation. Hallelujah. That's salvation. Yes? Any other one? One more. What is salvation?
According to the Bible study of today, salvation means when you drink that living water.
Salvation is what? When you drink, you know Jesus said, I have this water. Hallelujah. When you drink it, you're saved. You know why you're saved? Let me tell you something you don't realize. Because when you drink it, the well comes in. And John 14 says, it will abide with you forever. Amen. That's why you're saved. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee unto the day of redemption. But I just put my own condition there as I see it in the Bible, in Christ. Amen. Salvation is what? Salvation is not in you, it's in Christ. So you are saved as long as you remain in Christ. Because it's just abide in me. Hallelujah. There's a reason why there's an instruction to do that. Hallelujah.
But so long as you're in Christ, he's abiding in me forever. Hallelujah. He's not doing that because I'm perfect. He's doing it because I received the gift that was paid by the blood. Hallelujah. Let me give you my definition of salvation. They are all correct. I just wanted to show you some dimensions of salvation. I want you to think of salvation more broadly. Salvation is deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, when you are delivered, then you are saved. Does it make sense? Imagine something is arising in your life, keeping you in bondage, you know, getting you to do the wrong thing, to act foolishly, you know, and then you are delivered. That means you are what? You are saved. Hallelujah. There is no salvation without deliverance. Hallelujah. The first thing he did is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Has what? Deliverance. It has what? Set me free. From what? From sin and death. In fact, actually, I want you to understand that sin and death is the whole package of brokenness. Within sin and death is what? Brokenness. Hallelujah. Everything broken in life has its root source in sin and death. Not like, sometimes you see your own personal sin, but sometimes it's just a fact of what you inherited from the fall of Adam. Hallelujah. Salvation is deliverance from the law of sin and death. So you say, I'm saved. That means I am delivered from the power of sin and death. I don't need to labor now under that power. You see, God never guaranteed that you will not face challenges. But he guarantees that you have the well inside. You have the well where? Inside. And you can drink. If you have the well, then you can drink. So just to say, if I have the well, then I can drink. Because I've got the well in me. Now listen to that. That means that I don't even need to go to Pastor Bell to drink. You know why? He has his own well. Hallelujah. The well is not transferable. You know the parable of the virgins? The wise and the foolish virgins. You know they could not share. Yeah, well, it's not that they were stingy. It's not transferable. Hallelujah. It's not transferable. You ever have the well or you don't have it. Hallelujah. You can be religious but not have the well. Because you never drank. You never made Jesus the Lord of your life. But when you make him, you are not just a churchgoer. You are not a follower. You are not a disciple. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Whichever way we win. Hallelujah. Imagine if you can get to that point in your life. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. He said, now, but I still live. But it's no longer me that I'm living. It's Christ that is living in me. Let me explain that to you. He said, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. You know what that means? He said, every time you're still trying to save your life, you know, pursuing your agenda, pursuing your selfish ambition, yeah? You are becoming more susceptible to the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Because you're not living by faith. Now, living by faith does not mean you don't have a job. You should have a job. Hallelujah. Living by faith does not mean you're not doing your part. You know, contributing to your family. You should contribute to your family. Hallelujah. Living by faith does not mean you're living day and night in church. No. Go out there. Hallelujah. The people are out there. Amen. Living by faith means that the life I live is no longer mine. I have given that one to him. Now I'm living his life. He said, Lord, what should we do? Hallelujah. Because when I'm not holding tightly, I can live. When I'm holding tightly, the devil is that's the devil's domain. You know, for the devil to tempt you, he has to offer you something. Does that make sense? But if the devil has nothing to offer you, he can't tempt you. Hallelujah. And every time, since when I've made up my mind to live the life of Christ, I find out that other things are being added to me. You know why? There are other things.
They are not other. They are not the main thing. They are what?
Other thing.
They are being added. They must be added. Because the greatest purpose in all of eternity is the kingdom. The kingdom is the greatest purpose. It's greater than your passion. Hallelujah. It's greater. The kingdom is the greatest purpose. Hallelujah. So when you align with doing what God has called you to do with your life, when every day you are trusting and say, Lord, what should I do? How should I do it? Yeah? Lead me. Guide me. Yeah? That's kingdom. Hallelujah. You can drink from that well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Let's just look a bit at living water before I begin to wrap it together. What are the benefits of water to your body? Why do you need water in your body? By the way, 2/3 of your body is made up of water. And 2/3 of the earth's surface is made up of water. So what are the benefits of water to your body? Yes, I need like 5 answers.
To grow and to quench your thirst.
Yes. To what? To quench your thirst and to grow. Yes, I accept it. Yes. Benefits of water. Why should you drink water? I know some people in this world are not drinking enough. Actually, most people are not drinking enough water. There's some research that says if you can only drink more water, you'll be more healthy. Without fasting and prayer. Yes?
To process and dissolve food substance.
I call that digestion. Hallelujah. Digestion. You need water for what? Digestion. Yes? Why do you need water? What's the benefit of water to your body? What does water do for you? Yes? I'm looking for 5 answers. Use water to clean. Uh-huh. Your body needs cleaning. Now, let's wait. Let's just transfer that. Do you know that the word of God, you can hear the word of God. You hear it, but you don't understand it. You just hear it. It sounds like a nice lecture. You say, that pastor is brilliant. It means nothing to you. Because it's not being what? Digested. You need water. The word of God that comes into you will be processed inside your spirit. Hallelujah. And with the water of the spirit, it will bring you understanding. It will lead you into all truth. You will just be catching the revelation from that word. You are digesting it. Then it can produce power. Amen. Then you need to clear your spirit from junk. Let me give an example of how junk comes into your spirit. You wrote a song. We sang it. Ah, Sister Shelley. You know you sang very beautifully today. Yeah, that's a compliment. Yeah. So I'm not no strings attached. I'm not implying anything. Okay. Now, you go home. You write a beautiful song, and then you show it to your friend. Who's your friend there? She's like, God, yeah. Yeah? You know, she visited you the last time. And then you introduced the song to her. So, sing it for me. And then you sang it. And then before you know it, she goes out there. Probably she's a celebrity. Yeah? You know, many celebrity singers, they don't write those songs they sing. You know that? They just use their voice. They didn't write it. And then you wrote the song. She goes to sing and make money. Nobody, everybody knows that. Nobody. So, you know what she did? She stole your song. So you know what happens? You are offended in your spirit. You are bitter. You've had a disappointment with a human being. Sometimes you even have disappointments with God because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. Huh? That becomes a waste product in your spirit. You with me? Huh? If you remain like that, it's poison to your spirit. Are you with me? Need water to cleanse your spirit and wash it so that you can maintain a flow with God. Hallelujah. Many Christians have been entered into a spiritual state of dormancy because of offense. Bible says offenses must surely come. Hallelujah. But we don't stay there. Hallelujah. We don't stay there. Bible says we know that we have passed from death
to life.
Ow! Because we love the brethren. Hallelujah. Somebody might have told yourself, somebody might have made it worse. Well, you're not going to stay there. Hallelujah. You might have had a disappointment. But I beg you, don't have a disappointment with God. Because Jesus said to them, when everybody left, Jesus said, he told the remaining disciples, what of you? Will you also go? He said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. He's the fountain of living water. Outside of him, there is no other. The devil has nothing good to give you. He can give you something that looks good, like he gave Eve, but it led to death. Hallelujah. So you need water to remove the waste products from your spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. What else does water do to your body when you drink water? Digestion, excretion, which is removal of waste products, to urination or sweating. Yes. Any other one? Quench thirst. Yes, I agree. Sorry? Actually, let's stay on that point, quench thirst. So basically, have you ever told yourself, you know, it's been a long time in my life that I felt dry spiritually. It's been a very long time. Because I found the secret. The secret not to feel dry is to drink. Hello? Hello? Now I know that when I'm feeling low, I just go on the stroll and I pray in tongues. 30 minutes. It doesn't matter what caused it. I'm okay. Hello? I said, when I'm feeling low now, to me it's a signal to go and pray in tongues for 30 minutes. And when I'm out of it, water has cleansed me. Hallelujah. I'm refreshing. I'm okay. So I've not been dry for a long, long time. It is never God's plan for you to be spiritually dry. You know why? He put the well of water right in your innermost being. So don't buy that religion. Hallelujah. Why will I go dry? The well is there. Hallelujah. And it's springing up to eternal life. It will never fail. It's there. It's there. It can never, never stop. It can never fail. It's there. The only problem is, am I drinking or not? He said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What? Why? Where is he? No, you know, if you are not born again, you can be thinking of God beside you. That's not your greatest need. That's why you shouldn't even pray that God should come and stand beside you. You know why? God being beside you is not the greatest solution to your problem. It's God in you. In you. And if God is in me, he is in me. I don't know if you got what I'm just saying. So why don't you just start praying and say, God, please hold me close. Why don't you say, Father, thank you because your Holy Spirit is living in me. Now, you're going to the valley. You know, God never promised you that you will not go to the valley. But he said, even though I go to the valley of the shadow of death, what will I not do? I will not fear. Why? It's with me. It's with me. It's a wrong thing to be praying that God should be with you. Because when you have to do that, you have acknowledged that he's not what? With you. But he was not just with you. He is in you. But if you are not born again, you should pray it. Hallelujah. The unbeliever has no right in the kingdom. Zero. You know the only thing they deserve? Mercy. Hallelujah. John 1:12. He said, but as many as received him. What did he do? What power? Have you ever thought about it? What power? Let's go over that again. John 1:12. He said, as many as received him, he gave them what? Power to become the sons of God. Some other version says, he gave them the right. Hallelujah. The believer has the right to access the Father. And even sin is not a barrier to that right because the blood has been shed. Now, do I explain it? If you have sinned as a believer, there's a solution. Hallelujah. He said, if we confess our sins, now, if I confess is not just saying it, it means we admit it. We are sorry for it. We repent of it and we talk to the Father about it. What happened? He is faithful. That means the day God doesn't forgive my sin, he has stopped being faithful. Hello? You know why he's faithful and just? The blood has been shed. And I believe in the blood. Now, if you didn't believe in the blood, sorry. You can pay for your sins many times over. And you wouldn't have paid. But I believe. Say, I believe in the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me share this. Let me chip it. I have 10 minutes to finish. Let me just chip this in. Bible says, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The part I want to pick on, because I didn't understand that part, but let's be made you understand. He said, we complete the word of righteousness because I'm going to the Father. Do you know what it means? You know when Jesus rose from the dead, yeah? At the grave, they didn't see him, and then Mary Magdalene was crying, like, you know, where have they taken him? And then he saw the gardener, and then Jesus revealed himself. Yeah? And he said, don't touch me. Jesus told me, he said, don't touch me. He said, I am ascending to your Father. And my Father, and to your God, and my God. There was an unfinished business. Hallelujah. You know what he did? If you want to know what he did when he ascended, go to Hebrews. It tells us in Hebrews. Hallelujah. He went, he presented his blood at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. It became official. Hallelujah. The blood. So the reason why we can have righteousness is because Jesus has presented his blood at the Holy of Holies. In the heavenly temple. But not just that. Not just that. First John makes us understand. He said, beloved, I'm writing to you that you do not sin. So, bitch, I'm telling you now, Pastor Ben, don't sin. You know what? If you sin, there are consequences. If you put your hand in the fire, like if I have a gas cooker and you were visiting me, and we're like, okay, oh God, please. Don't play with the fire. Yeah? If you put your hand in the fire, it's my gas cooker, yeah? You even wasted my gas in the process, yeah? I will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. But that finger, let me burn. I may heal it, but it's still burnt anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, I'm writing to you that you should not sin, because sin has its own consequence. It's better to avoid it. But! Somebody say, but! He said, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the basis of righteousness. Amen? The blood has been shed. And the person who implemented it is sitting at the right hand of the Father. What does he do there? Hebrews tells us. He says, he's ever living to make intercession. Now, I want to explain that to you. It doesn't mean that Jesus is ever begging God. Jesus is not begging God. You know, he's God. You know the intercession he's making? He is representing the blood. Hallelujah. When God looks at you, and then he looks at Jesus, he sees the blood. Hallelujah. That is the basis why I cannot go back to my Father and say, Father, thank you because you are my Father. Thank you because I have the life of God in me. Thank you because I have everything it takes to overcome the devil. It's because of the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just say, I have the well of living water in me. So the only reason why you're going thirsty is because you're not drinking. But I know that many Christians want to drink. Some don't want to, but not many want to. But it's like they wanted the water to just be poured into their mouth. You know, like a robot. Open mouth. So you have some instruments, open your mouth. Then you want God to force feed you and force drink you. He will do that if you're a spiritual baby. Because we spoon feed babies, don't we? Yeah? But as you grow, God's perfect plan is not to be spoon feeding you all your life. Because if you remain a baby, he can't use you. Can you? Can he use you? No. You now have to know how to draw deep down. You carry in with you all the time and drink. So last part of this message, 5 minutes, we look at how can we drink? How can we remain hydrated? How can I be full of water? Because if I'm full of water, whatever life presents, look at Jesus. Jesus again operated in life as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So Jesus was in the boat and there was a storm. You know what Jesus was doing? They call it afternoon siesta. Yes. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't think Jesus could have been sleeping deeply. Because the boat was, just by physical law, the boat was being tossed from and fro. You know, imagine you're sleeping and somebody is tossing your bed. Bro, will you really be sleeping? Hallelujah. You know what he was doing? He refused to be troubled. He refused to be what? And he just kept calm. Why? He has a well. Of what?
Of living water. Mm-hmm.
And then those disciples were like, you know, after a while they tried their best, then they didn't see Jesus. Then I said, don't remember, we have Jesus. I want to go back to that parable. They were not looking for him for a miracle. They were looking for an extra hand. He said, because Bible says that when he rebuked the wind, they were amazed. So that means they were not expecting that. He said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Basically what he said, how can you be sleeping? Come put your hand there. Let's try to save this boat. Hallelujah. But what did he do? He rose up. And the Bible says, he rebuked. He rebuked it. Hallelujah. That comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from science and technology. Hallelujah. It comes where? From the Spirit. Hallelujah. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I said this during one of the sermons. It was just that week. I had gone to some slight cold. At the end of the week, I did prayer cell. After prayer cell, a pain just hit me at the back of my head. Like, I don't know if you noticed that day. I could not swallow my food. Hallelujah. But I remember that I have what? The well of living water in my spirit. I'm not an ordinary man. What about you? Say, I'm not an ordinary person. I have the well, the fountain of living water inside my belly. Hallelujah. I rebuked it. But it doesn't mean that the symptoms disappeared. I was still very okay, cognitive, but I had this pain. It was from my neck to my head to my neck to my shoulder. I could not swallow. I rebuked it. After a while, I went back. I tried to eat the food. I stood my ground. I said, my body is what? You don't understand that scripture. Because you think your body is demolished just to keep away from sin. Yes, that's one side. There are always two sides. Yes. Well, that's the negative side. Look, don't just live your life trying not to commit sin. Live your life committing righteousness. It's a better purpose. If you are committing righteousness, you are less likely to commit sin. Does it make sense? Get busy letting God use you. Then you don't have time to. Every time you are running from something, what are you running to? Why are you always running from something? Hallelujah. He said, my body is able of running speech. Now say, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I say, you pain at the back of my head. You do not glorify God. Can you imagine I'm preaching and pain is disturbing me? Does that glorify God? So I say, my body is able of running speech. You cannot be there. Now, you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, do you know why my body is able of speech? Why my body is able of speech? So that the Holy Spirit can use me to do what he wants to do on the earth. That's why my body has to be in health. Because if it's not in health, the Holy Spirit cannot use me to do what he wants to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. So the symptoms did not leave, but I settled it in my heart that is the legal position. You know, one thing about you need to study law. The law doesn't care about your emotions. Huh? They will just give you the legal end of story. You with me? And then I'm sharing this to encourage someone here because it's good to preach a message and give you some practical. After that, you know, the devil is a trickster. The devil is what? No, not just legal. He's the master magician. The devil is what? Because magic is what? A trick. Whether physical or spiritual magic, they are all what? Deception. All. Amen? The spirit of divination, its primary purpose is to deceive. That's why God forbids it. Because they will tell you some truth, but they will also package it with something that will destroy you. It's a spirit of divination. In fact, actually, the first manifestation of the spirit of divination was in Genesis chapter 3. When the serpent told Eve, "You shall not surely die." There was some truth and some falsehood. He said, you know, because God knows that when you eat, you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Now, do you know what happened when they ate? You know what happened? The first thing that happened after they ate. Do you know the first thing? The Bible said, so the man took it and they ate. And the Bible said, and they knew that they were naked. That's the first knowledge they gained. Is it good knowledge? That week, pain in my, there was one sharp pain in my, I don't know where now. It's my chest. I don't know where this rib or chest. It was right there, just poking me, pinging me hard. You know, you're tempted, you go to Google. I said, this thing is either rib bone or lung. As I say, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace to my lungs. And I speak peace to my bones. The pain moved from this one. It went up. Ah! Sharp! The devil is what? A trickster. Hallelujah. I said, no. My body. He said, if you don't believe it, if I believe it, it's mine. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, another problem is that if you're not serving God, I see every time God told you to do something, you don't do it. That's what I mean by serving. Then you see, you can't enter that revelation. But when you understand that actually I need this body to function for God, so actually this is an hindrance to it. It does not glorify God. Hallelujah. Long story short, end of the week, all the thing gone. That's how we live in the victory. Say, I have the fountain of living water, and I choose to drink. I'll stop there because of time. I'll continue next week. We look at how to drink, how to draw deep down. Because what there's the problem. You're not drawing. The problem is that we're not engaging with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You're upset. You don't have any conversation with the Holy Spirit. You're not drawing deep down. Have a conversation! And then you just pick up your phone and you call that your friend in, at Warren. Say, you know what happened to me today? You know what that girl did to me at work? You know? Talk to the Holy Spirit. Express your feelings. Ask questions. Amen? That's what we call the communion. So I'm just giving you a picture. The communion with the Holy Spirit is how you draw deep down. Amen? You have to enter communion. Enter conversation. Engage with Spirit all the time. Keep conscious of His presence. Confess His presence. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life, the law of the life-giving Spirit, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, I, Ben, glorify God in my body and in my spirit because they are God's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and sing a song and finish there. This song says, it's a Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Now, when you are singing that song, I want you to understand. Don't imagine the Holy Spirit came coming down from heaven. He's not coming down from heaven. He came down already. Hallelujah. Don't pray that the Holy Spirit should come down. Because He came down and He didn't go back. As you sing that song, imagine the Holy Spirit rising up from within you. Hallelujah. Springing up with eternal life. Moving from inside and all around your body, soul and spirit. And giving you a refreshing in. Whether it be in your mind, or it be in your body, that place where the pain is, or it be in your situation, it can move from within to without. The Holy Spirit is not limited.